Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. This is your host, Stone Payton, and joining me in the studio this morning is my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
How are you doing today, Stone?
I am doing well, man. I understand you got bar mitzvahed or something over the weekend. What have you been doing?
I went to a bar mitzvah. My partner in crime on the Dr. Fitness and the Fat Guy show, his son was bar mitzvahed. It was a wonderful experience.
Yeah, so you had a big weekend. Are you hungover? Are you tired?
No, I don't. You know, I don't drink or anything. I'm boring.
Well, I know we've both been looking to forward to this morning's show. You, I think, helped us organize this guest.
I found him.
So you're my booking specialist.
That's right. I met him at a Bob Littell function of, I think it was Net Weaving / Junior Achievement.
Now, that is a neat deal there, the whole
JV. You went to that.
I went to it last year. I had a conflict this year, but I sent my guy.
That was me.
That was you. And so you met this gentleman, and you got to talking.
Yes.
And then the next thing you know, here he is in the studio.
Like
to
magic.
Talk about his stuff. Mm-hmm. So we are delighted to welcome to the show, I don't know, the grand poobah of quality service. I don't have his card in front of me, but he's running things over there at West Paces Hotel Group, Mr. Ryan Magnan. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Good morning.
Well, you are more than welcome. We are delighted to have you. Give us a little bit of a feel for what your role is over there at West Paces, and how things are going for you out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. West Paces, we're a new, relatively new hotel company. We were founded by Horst Schulze, who was the original, one of the co-founders and previous president of the Ritz-Carlton Hotel Company. So that's our lineage.
Wow. How's that for credentials?
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's exciting to work for Horst and a number of the senior executives, Bob Orman, Owen Dorsey, and a number of others who were at Ritz in the 90s during their massive growth. We're a separate company, though. We're not affiliated with Ritz. So Horst Schulze retired from Ritz in 2002, and started the West Paces Hotel Group, based right here in Atlanta in Buckhead.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to retire from this and start Radio Y.
There you go. Now, what makes the West Paces so special?
Well, some of what is our foundation are the same things that made Ritz-Carlton so successful, and that is really basing operational excellence on quality management. And we believe, first, at the core of it all, is a focus on creating excellence. So everything that we do, whether we're, you know, take the hotel situation out of the equation, we are focused on excellence. So if we were a shipping company, we would still be doing a lot of the same things that we do today. If we were a restaurant versus a hotel, we'd be doing the same things. So it's really based on having a foundation of pursuit and focus on excellence to create that added value for all the stakeholders. For us, it's hotel owners, it's employees, it's customers, and it's the community in which we're in. And we do that using quality management principles.
And then in your hotels, how do you ensure that every hotel has that same experience for the person staying there?
Well, it's a path that we follow all the way from the very beginning of creating the operation in each hotel. So whether it's
Each hotel unique? So like one in Atlanta would be different than one, say, in Singapore?
Physically different, yes. I don't think we have two hotels that are the same. And I'll share with you a little bit about our brands in a minute. But they're all unique physically, but the structure in which we have behind the scenes to operate them and ensure that we have excellent service consistently and reliably, that is the same. And it starts with recruitment and selection. You know, we believe that companies, it's absolutely paramount and important that when you go out and select versus hire, there's a difference. Making sure you get the people you actually want to keep in the business versus just hiring. But we believe that selection is critical, and so many companies take that lightly. And it's the first step in a long relationship in many cases. And so we screen our employees very heavily through a talent-based selection process. Talent Plus is the company that we use for that. And it's been very successful over the years and kept our retention rates and turnover is under 25%. So we have a good track record there.
Is that a good number in the hotel business, 25%? It strikes me as it probably is.
It is. It's very low. Typically, you see about 60 to 100% in the industry. Which is full, you know, anywhere from 60 to 100 is full turnover in 1 year. So it can be pretty high. But we look at it and think it's worth the investment to spend the time, resources, and energy to really screen employees. We'll screen about 10 for every one we hire, and that's for everyone from a housekeeper and cleaning rooms to a front desk agent.
So can you walk us through, like, if you decide to open a hotel in, like, your next location, say it's in New York City, What's your first hire or first selection?
Well, if we open a hotel in New York City, which we just did back in November, we launched the Satay Fifth Avenue. It's called the Satay Fifth Avenue, a Capella Hotel. That opened in early November. And the process starts about a year to 18 months out when we bring on the senior leaders in the hotel, the general manager, the director of sales.
So you're hiring them or selecting them from scratch? They have no affiliation with you?
Well, some of them do have affiliation with us and some don't. Uh-huh. As a growing company, right now we have 14 hotels.
Right.
As a growing company, you are sometimes able to pull your own resources for that, and sometimes you have to go outside.
Right.
As the company grows, you're able to source it more from the inside.
But if you do a good job in Hartsell, Alabama, then you get to go to New York.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. And we have some star performers. Let me tell you, some of them have just done remarkably. We had, the selection process really focuses on two key things. It's talent and fit. Mm-hmm. The talent is someone's natural, God-given abilities, just what you're good at and what you love doing. The combination of those things, each one, the three of us here in this room, we have things that we love doing and we're good at, and things that we don't, that we know we're not good at and should stop doing immediately. But those things for talent have to be there. And then the fit. I might be successful at the West Paces Hotel Group, but I might not be successful at another hotel company because the culture may be different. And then we take that and then pour some investment by the leader into that employee and work on developing them over time. And that tends to be lacking in a lot of companies today, the fact that people get selected or hired, brought on board, and okay, Bob, off you go, follow Jim around for 3 months and he'll show you what to do, versus
and then you're on your own
creating a development plan for them.
So you spend a lot of time creating that development plan.
It's important. If we don't, first you have to understand what the employee's goals are. If someone wants to be a general manager of a hotel one day,
right,
then you need to know that as an employer, and you need to know how you can support them in that effort. And you're there to help develop them and make them successful in that. If they say, I'd rather be a front desk agent the rest of my life, then that's their choice, and we support that as well.
So this whole quality management super service mentality, can you really select for that, or do you select for that aptitude and then you have to train it, or it's a little bit of both?
Well, we believe in selecting for talent and training for skill. So if I have two candidates and one of them is excellent in their technical capabilities at the front desk, but they don't smile, they're not getting hired. I can teach someone how to use a computer at a front desk or learn the technical capabilities of the job, but I can't teach them to smile, and I can't teach them to want to be friendly. And that's where the passion comes from. And I think when you're selecting people in a company, you have to get people that are passionate and love doing what they do.
But you don't get to the bottom of those kinds of issues in a 30-minute interview. You guys are investing considerable resources in this selection process.
It's an intensive interview. Candidates are asked anywhere from 30 to 70 questions in a phone screening-based interview, and some of them are live-based interviews. But the screening is something you can't prepare for. The candidate cannot rehearse and prepare for it. They're open-ended questions that really get to the heart of what that person believes, and then they're asked to explain why they believe those things.
And that's your proprietary system?
It is Talent Plus's proprietary system. We are a client of Talent Plus.
Uh-huh.
They're based in Lincoln, Nebraska.
But you work with them to kind of design which are the skill sets you're looking for, and then they built a system that kind of will let that come to the top?
That's right. They learn our culture and our company and what we believe, what our goals and aspirations are, and our mission of our company. And with that, they balance it against these themes like positivity, teamwork, learner, intellectual drive, competitiveness. These are all themes, and that each one of us would score differently on those themes. So I might be very competitive, but I might not be a big team player, and someone else might be a team player and not competitive. So we figure out what those graphs look like of each individual, and we chart them out, and we have what's called a talent profile of that person.
Now, how do you, obviously in your business and your company, 25% turnover, you probably think that's too high. I would imagine that you're aspiring to be better than that.
And we're always looking to improve, that's for sure.
And then, but the other companies, they're okay with 60 to 100, or it's just not important to them?
I think it's probably important to all of them. And I'm sure in every executive meeting of every company out there, or hotel companies, it's a topic of discussion. The question is, what paradigm have companies settled on that's okay? And in some industries, we've just decided and come to the realization that, you know what, that amount of turnover on a given annual basis, that's fine. That's okay.
But what's the price they're paying for that in your mind, having 100% turnover?
Well, I think, there's several prices. One's the pure dollar cost of going out and having to screen an interview. The second thing is loss of customers. When you have turnover, you will lose customers, not just employees, but you'll lose customers because going out that door is valuable knowledge and valuable connection to the culture and the purpose of your company. And if you're truly screening people and you're selecting people that really want to be connected to you and want to be a part of what you're doing and want to be connected to creating excellence, and for some reason they go out the door, then you've got a serious problem on your hands. And that's what we try to avoid.
But those other companies don't feel that's a problem. They're okay with the knowledge going out the door.
I think.
I mean, they must be because
they have to be.
Their actions are telling you that they're okay with it.
They have to be. And I would, if you asked them across the board table, they would say no.
Right.
The famous line is always, our people are our most important asset.
Right. That's on every poster, right? Every wallet card.
Yes. They're our most valued asset. Well, the question is, okay, can you talk to me about the things you do to ensure that your people, that your actions back that up? And that's where the conversation will get difficult.
I want to get some free consulting here because we've been talking around here at Business Radio X a lot about creating a better customer experience, a better guest experience, a better host experience. And I'm trying to get my arms around, how do you begin to do that? Like, do your senior folks get together every month or so and sit around and say, what kind of experience do we want to create, and just brainstorm around that? And if you come up with some good ideas, how do you make sure it gets implemented and this doesn't just float away?
Well, we do it in two ways. One is internal discussion and brainstorming and trying to be innovative. And the other is listening to the customer and listening to our employees. So you have to get input from disparate sources, from different sources, to piece all that together to really have a good picture of what it is the customer wants. You know, on one hand, on the innovation side, I mean, Henry Ford said if he'd asked his customers, they would have told him they wanted a faster horse.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
So they
don't know what they want.
That's a good point.
You know, he innovated, and he came up with something that blew everyone away. I mean, nobody knew what Google was before, you know, really that came about. So there's businesses that come around that all of a sudden create a market. But at the same time, while you're innovating, you have to go out and respond to the customer's needs. So we have a fairly elaborate survey system. It's easy for the customer, but it's behind the scenes a lot going on, where we survey them through the internet and through email. And we have about a 25% to 30% response rate from our hotel guests, which is very high.
That's very high for customer experience, yeah.
We could get 500 surveys back in a given month from some, you know, smaller hotel even. That gives us a lot of great information. We'll take that on a monthly basis, and our executive team will review that customer information. We will also conduct market studies. Our marketing department will go out and do market research and, you know, purchase some of that research and find out what are the latest up-and-coming trends and things in the industry that we need to be aware of. Social media is a big one.
Now, how do you attribute that high rate of your customers responding to a survey? Do you incent them? Do you give them, like, free stays, or do you have to bribe them?
We don't. We don't. And, you know, we thought we might have to.
Right.
We considered it. We discussed it. But we started out and we simply send them an email that says, first of all, thank you for staying with us. We really appreciate your business. So it's not a survey email. It's a thank you email.
Right.
Thank you for staying with us. We are a company or a hotel that believes in continuously improving so that the next time you come and stay with us, we can ensure an incredible experience. We would ask for your feedback. And would you mind sharing the good, the bad, the ugly, everything that happened so that we can improve? And when you come across to a customer as being genuinely interested in their feedback, I would love to hear from you so that we can do something about it. If a customer feels that they get a form letter in the mail or via email and it seems impersonal, they're going to blow it off. They're not going to do anything about it because they don't think it's going to go anywhere. But if they really feel it's going to go somewhere, they'll do something. And the second piece is the emotional connection with our employees. We've had guests write on their surveys. There's an area for comments where they can write in. And one of them was our Capella Hotel in Ixtapa. A guest wrote and said, I literally looked forward to waking up every morning and walking across the property and interacting with your lovely ladies and gentlemen. And that's a huge compliment.
Wow, that's great.
And then, so how many questions? Is this like a 100 question thing, or you're just trying to get a couple of key things?
Yeah, it's very, very short. We ask, I would say, no more than 25, 30 questions, but it's also a variable survey. So if you did not experience the spa, you're not going to get asked a question on it. So only the areas of the hotel that you experienced will the survey expand, and you can then ask those questions. So
I bet you
try to make it short.
I bet you've got some great stories of employees actually living this whole customer experience posture that you guys have.
We do. We've had some good ones. The one that comes to top of mind, we had a gentleman who was a bartender at one of our hotels, and serviced a couple that came in occasionally to that bar. Let's call them Mr. and Mrs. Jones. So Mr. and Mrs. Jones came in frequently, and this bartender knew, obviously seeing them quite frequently, what sort of wine they preferred. So as he got to know them, he would have their wine, as he saw them coming in the front door of the hotel, ready for them, sitting on the counter. Now, what's the risk? The risk there is that they don't want wine that night. So, that's the risk you run. But he would have that wine there ready for them and, always just took care of them and established a great personal connecting relationship with them. And it wasn't crossing the line from employee to friend. It was, there was always that professional line there, but it was an emotional connection. So one night, he was off duty and he was out at a pizza restaurant, and he was sitting there in the restaurant, and he looks across the restaurant and he sees this couple sitting there. So he tells the bartender, "Hey, come here a minute." And he says, "See that couple over there? Do me a favor, take them these two glasses of wine and take this note over to them." So the bartender carries these glasses of wine over to this couple, and they look surprised, like, where did this come from? Where did this? And he says, "Well, that gentleman right over there," and he's waving at him across the room, and they open the letter or the note, and it says, "Mr. and Mrs. Jones, thanks for staying at our hotel," and he signs it. And that's really powerful. I mean, here's someone, he spent his own money. He was off duty. He recognized these people that he cared about, who he was serving every day, and he thought enough to send them something and say, "Thanks for staying at our hotel." Right. He took ownership. He could have been a proprietor.
Right.
For all
they
you
don't know. Right.
They don't know.
Now, when that happens in real life, well, first, let's go back to the hotel where he gave them the wine or he presented it to them. And so obviously as a culture, you're saying, look, if they say they don't want wine and we have to eat this, we're okay with it, right?
That's right. It has to be a company culture where, and when you talk about empowerment, that's an example of empowerment.
Right.
With empowerment, we say all the time, empowerment does not exist unless the employee truly believes it exists. If a company says, "Hey, you're all empowered, go out and take care of the customer," well, that's going to be realized through the response to how they take care of the customer. So if they get their wrist slapped, they're not going to do it again.
Right. If he would have then said to his boss, "Look, I knew they liked this wine, and then I gave it to them, and they said they didn't want any wine, so we have to throw this in the garbage," and the guy yelled at him.
Right.
That would be the last time.
That's
that
the
ever
end
happened.
Of that deal. It would have been no nice note written at the pizza joint. I guarantee it.
No more wine.
Right? He's like, "Don't do that again."
That's right.
Now, would he then expense that wine that he gave at the pizza place? Or that's all on him? I know you don't expect him to do that. But
if he had expensed it, we would have reimbursed him.
Right.
But we would have. However, he said no. And in fact, we didn't learn of this from him. We learned of this from the customer.
Right.
They came back. They went to our general manager and said, "You've got to hear this. This is unbelievable. Right. Did you tell him to do this?" And of course, our GM's like, "No, we don't know where he goes in his off time.
We're not stalking you."
Exactly.
Wow, that's an amazing story.
Yeah.
I mean, so do you have any other stories like that? I love these.
Well, there's been a number of them. We've had there was one night where we had some guests in that were attending a large function in the hotel, so they had a business meeting all day. And this one woman did not get back to her room until about 9 o'clock at night.
Right.
And she got back to her room, and the hotel was booked up, so it was full. She gets back to her room about 9 o'clock at night, and for whatever reason, there was an error in the computer system with showing her room was clean or dirty. So, typically in a hotel, we'll have a status on the room, so you can tell which rooms are clean and which ones are dirty.
Uh-huh.
So this was missed, and she gets back up to her room, sees that it was not cleaned, and calls down to the front desk. Well, at 9 o'clock at night, unless you're a full service hotel that has turn down service, there's probably no housekeeping present in the hotel.
Right.
They typically are gone by 6 p.m. unless you do the evening service. So she calls down to the front desk, and young lady there, we'll call her Julie. Julie answers the phone at the front desk and says, "Yes, ma'am, may I assist you?" She says, "My room is dirty. This is unacceptable. I got to take a shower. I'm frustrated. This is nuts. So she says, "I'm so sorry, ma'am. Let me come up there. I'm going to take care of this right away." So she goes in the back and has somebody come to the front desk and cover the front desk for her. Now, she knows there's no housekeeping in the hotel. So she goes in the back, goes upstairs, goes to the guest, and the guest says, well, see, it's dirty. I told you it was dirty. She says, no, ma'am, I'm not here to inspect it. I just wanted to come and get you and take you down to the restaurant and get you coffee and dessert while we clean your room. I don't want you to be in the room while we're cleaning it. And the woman says, well, okay, that sounds good enough. So she goes down to the restaurant, and she seats her and gives her coffee and dessert, and they take good care of her in the restaurant. She goes in the back and gets the cleaning equipment out and goes in the closet and gets the linen. Now, here's someone that does not change rooms and clean rooms on a daily basis. So she admits later, you know, I had a little bit of training on this, but I wasn't, you know, 100% certain how to square those corners on the bed, you know. So she ends up doing the best she can. She's spraying chemicals, you know, doing all of this, and she cleaned it very nicely. Goes back down, gets the guest, brings her back up to the room, and shows her the room. So the guest says, wow, this is great. Thank you so much. I didn't realize your housekeeping was here this late. And she says, well, no, ma'am, I clean the room. And this woman stops and looks at her, and she sees it's a 21-year-old guest services agent in, you know, the nice guest services suit from the front desk.
Now sweating.
And she's, now sweating. Yeah. And she just starts tearing up and hugs this girl and literally just had this moment with her where she felt so connected. And she said, I didn't mean for you to have to clean the room. And she said, well, who else is going to do it?
Right.
That's just what we do here.
Right.
Wow.
And so, you know, this woman was so impressed that a guest services agent didn't say, well, I'm sorry, ma'am, there's no housekeeping in the house. So you're just going to have
to. You're on your own.
Or we'll have to move. Typically what you would do in a hotel is if you have no more rooms available, it's called walking a guest. You send them to another hotel, you pay for their room, and you transfer them to another hotel. So that was the only option at that point.
Right.
But she said, no, I'm not going to do that. You're staying with us tonight, and I'm going to clean your room.
Wow.
And this woman wrote a letter to us from Texas when she got home and raved, and that's how we found out about it, was this letter.
Wow.
I think we should have a reality show, the West Paces experience.
I'm sure it's a little different.
Wow. That is unbelievable. That's incredible. So with these kinds of guest experiences and everything going like it is, you guys must have some really aggressive plans for growth, yeah?
Well, we do. We're looking, international growth. We have 14 hotels right now globally. We are in Singapore. Internationally, we're in Singapore, Austria, Germany, Mexico. We have hotels in development in China and in Russia. Down in Panama, others in Mexico. So we're looking.
Is there a challenge globally in those different countries to get that same level of service, or selecting the right people in those other countries where the culture may be different?
Well, yeah, there are cultural differences, and our screening process takes that into account. Mm-hmm. But generally, there, you know, people that are focused on excellence, people that are friendly and warm and caring, that transcends cultures. It goes across, you know, international boundaries. And we really believe that there's some adjustments in the screening process, but we believe that there are some core elements that we look for, and it's proven successful. So whether they were German employees that we screened or whether they were American or Mexican, it did not matter. Some of the main core tenets were the same.
And the ratio is the same, 10 to 1?
Roughly. It can fluctuate. You know, you have cultures out there that we believe are just naturally suited their whole culture and their upbringing is suited towards gracious service. Two of those that come to mind are in Bali, the Balinese, and in Mexico. And in those two countries, you find some of the most caring, genuine employees. And that shows through when the guest goes and experiences that hotel.
Now, let's change gears a little and look at this kind of from a spreadsheet. The CFO is looking at this quality. How do you kind of work the ROI on this for businesses all over?
Well, from a quality management, which is the foundation of our service delivery process, is based on several things. It's based on defect prevention, so preventing defects from ever happening in the operation. Defect elimination, what processes you have once you find out that something occurred. And then problem resolution and service recovery. So how do you handle things when they go wrong? In addition to that is a focus on efficiency. So we analyze processes. We analyze systems. We say, you know, is the cleaning of this room the most optimal it can be? Are we cleaning the room not in the shortest amount of time, because that may not get you to your objective? Your objective is not only a clean room, but an immaculate room.
Right.
So we would look at that process and say, what is the process? What is the optimal process for cleaning that room so that it's immaculate and done in the shortest amount of time while maintaining that standard, and do that over time? For our owners of our hotels who are looking at this ROI, they want to know several things. One, Can you operate an efficient operation? Quality management and those tools we teach our leaders helps to do that. And secondly, the customer turnover and retention. So are we growing the business? And one of the examples we use is think of a cup of water, and that cup of water is your business. And if you have defects in the operation, holes in the bottom of that cup are the defects. And so dripping out of the bottom of that cup is this water. Well, that's your customer. Those are your customers you're losing. If you plug those holes and you prevent those leaks in the operation, then naturally, logically, as you fill that cup with water, which is sales and marketing, adding new customers, that cup's eventually going to overflow.
Right.
Today, with most businesses, or a lot of businesses, I guess, the focus is more on sales and marketing. They tend to be marketing companies. We're a product-driven company.
Right.
And we're focused on how do we provide incredible experiences for the guest? And yes, there's an investment up front on that. But we know, and our ROI proves that over time, that's going to yield to greater reputation. It's going to yield to higher occupancies in the hotels and a willingness to pay more. There was a guest in one of our hotels that I talked to him and I said, so how's your experience here? He goes, oh, it's great. I just love the employees. They know me by name. He says, I'm not a VIP by any means, and this is not a ultra luxury. It wasn't our ultra luxury product, but I feel so important here. I said, so what were you paying that night? And he said something like, you know, $125 a night or something. And I said, what would you pay to not to stay somewhere else? So I said, what would you pay not to leave here? And he said, I'd pay about $150. So he put a $25 premium on that experience, not wanting to leave. And of course he said, don't tell the sales guys. but he was saying, I'd like to stay here and I'm willing to pay more for that. So there is a large number of people out there, and it's a universal desire, the desire to feel cared for, the desire to feel important, and the desire to feel included.
Now, as part of your just the normal interaction with your customers, I would think that you would try to create opportunities for your customers to interact in order to have these experiences happen more frequently in order to create the bonding. Do you do anything like that?
Absolutely. We, you know, and let me break down our brands, and that'll help understand it. We have Capella Hotels and Resorts. That's our ultra luxury brand.
Right.
You're going to have higher rates to stay there, but only 100 rooms or fewer. So we have the ability in a Capella Hotel, and there are six of those globally, one in New York, two in Mexico, two in Europe, and one in Asia, where we're able to provide personalized, individualized service. And that personalized and individualized service is a real emotional connector. And someone in another business out there might say, well, yeah, but that's great, but I have a huge business. I've got a lot of volume. I don't have time to create those sorts of things, and it's expensive. And we would say, so what's your sales team doing in the field? How much time do they have with that one-on-one customer they just spent an hour in his office? What could that salesperson in the field out interacting with that potential client who you want them to land that deal, what could that salesperson do that is so special and memorable that that potential client walks away and says, wow, that guy is amazing? Or and it's not that guy. That guy represents a brand, or that lady. Whoever it is, that person represents that brand. And so that interaction has to be critical. So personalization is really key. And then finding out really what those customers want in each of the brands. Our other brand is Solis Hotels and Resorts. We have two of those, one in Ireland and one in Jamaica. And we have a portfolio of independent hotels. The Auburn University Hotel and Conference Center in Auburn, Alabama is one where we operate and teach the students in the university how we run hotels.
Oh, wow.
That's a cool model.
So that's pretty neat.
That.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. And it's great because you get to connect with the young people of today's, you know, up-and-coming workforce who say, I'm interested in hospitality and I want to be connected with excellence. And so we will give them an opportunity and future in our company. And so we've got a number of graduates from Auburn that have graduated and gone on to great careers in our company. And one that I'm thinking of right now is in food and beverage in Singapore. So he's from the States and went over to Singapore and is loving it. So there's different environments that we can create, but it's a different business model with each portfolio of hotels.
So, but this the quality management system is really the heart of your business. It doesn't matter what really you're doing.
That's right. We would implement quality management and the same principles in Capella, Solis, or independent hotels.
Or if you were at a fast food restaurant.
It doesn't matter. Right. I mean, the core things of, you know, selecting well, and there's a process. First is a selection. Select your employees well. And, I mean, spend the time and screen them very well. Second thing is orientation. I mean, how many employees are brought into companies And their orientation is, hey, follow Bob around. Right.
But is it something that you have to pay top dollar? Are you guys the pay the most in every skill set in every hotel?
Every
position?
No, we don't pay the most in every position in every hotel. There are some positions in some areas where we do pay more than, mm-hmm. than the market segment. But we believe in letting the market drive that. And the market conditions should determine
that. Is part of the reason your people are so loyal and so attentive to the customers is their profit sharing? Do they see any financial gain from doing this, or is it just the culture is so strong they just feel like they have to do this?
Well, there are financial incentives depending on what position you have in the hotel and what level position. We certainly want people to work their way up and earn that. But when you select well up front, you save yourself so much effort on the back end because now you have people that are connected to a purpose. And Mr. Schulze, when he was at Ritz-Carlton and now at West Paces, talks about this concept of connecting people to an environment of belonging and purpose, that people don't fulfill functions. The chair on which we're sitting right now, they fulfill functions. People don't fulfill functions. So are you being hired and coming to work and punching in and fulfilling a function and going home? Are you being connected to a greater purpose? That connection really is a strong, strong tie. And then it's up to the leaders in the organization to really make that happen. And a lot of the quality management that we teach and work with our leaders in our hotels, it's one and the same with leadership excellence. So you can't say I'm an excellent leader, I'm a top leader in our company if you don't implement quality management consistently.
And these employees, they're feeling important and included, just like the philosophy toward the guests. Right. I mean, they may even be willing to take less money. I don't know.
Right. That's probably. Well, that's important. I would imagine you have a smaller marketing budget, but stronger training and employee relations budget.
That's true. We put a lot of energy and effort into getting our employees to the level they need to be. And we, in fact, when we opened our hotel in Pedregal in Cabo San Lucas, the Capella down there, which is a fabulous property, we were training some employees in the restaurant. And so we were working with them on refining their skills and helping them become better. And typically in Mexico, if you have employees in the nearby area who are all working at top hotels, it's going to be very difficult to get them to leave those top hotels and come work for you, especially when you're the new kid on the block.
Right.
So we had a number of employees that were first time and young employees that had not done this work before. And as we're training them, we kept correcting them. Nope, stop, start over. Nope, you did it incorrectly, start over. Here's how you do it. Let me show you. And so we have a process in which we do that. And they were getting a little frustrated. And we said, okay, time out. Here's why we're doing this. We're doing this because we want to make you the best, enable you to be the best server in Mexico. We want you to be the best at what you do. That's why we're being hard on you. That's why we're trying to drive you to greater levels. And once the light went on,
right,
they realized, okay, I know this is uncomfortable right now, but it's in my best interest to do this.
My long-term best interest, not just my job here.
Exactly.
Could be their whole career.
That's right.
To do this story justice, Lee, and verify all this, we're going to need to do some on-site remote. So let's get Bev in on the horn and schedule that. This with his people.
Some mystery shopping.
Yes.
And we'll give you a rate, man. Do you help other companies do any of this? Have you ever entertained the idea of maybe consulting to other organizations? Because they would have to be so thirsty for the same capability once they experienced it.
We do. We help other companies. We do not consult in the hotel space, so we will not work with other hotel
that
companies.
That sounds like a good call.
That's a good strategy. But we've worked with fast food. We've worked with insurance companies. We've worked with car rental agencies, with convention centers, law firms, interestingly enough, who said, we're great lawyers, but we're not so great on the service piece. How can you help us with that?
Well, that's a lot of self-awareness there. I wouldn't have guessed that lawyers would be unaware.
Exactly. So it's exciting, though.
So what's the best way for people to learn more about the hotels and also this consulting arm?
Well, if you go to westpaceshotels.com, westpaceshotels.com, that's where you find everything about us. You'll see our brands there. You'll see CapellaHotels.com and SolisHotels.com. And then West Paces Consulting, which is our consulting arm. And
are you involved in that, or you're the hotel?
My primary role is over quality for the company, and I do get involved in consulting from time to time. Mm-hmm. So it's typically as we're interacting with companies out there, or doing events like this or doing other things, I'll interact and they'll say, hey, can you work with us on our quality or on a service? And we're happy to do that. So myself and my colleagues there who are overseeing consulting, Leonardo Ingaleri and others are happy to help.
Great.
Well, it has been an absolute delight having you on the show. I hope you'll come back sometime. Maybe bring someone from one of your specific properties and hear more about their specific brand or their specific place. That'd be marvelous.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd love to bring somebody. Absolutely. We'd love it. And I'm sure they would love to come in, or someone from Auburn that can explain that program and what they're doing down there.
That would be a marvelous show. Let's get that set up.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right. Terrific, guys. Well, until next time, this is Stone Payton, Lee Cantor. Our guest today, Ryan Magnan, VP of Quality for West Paces Hotel Group, and everyone here at the Radio X family, saying we'll see you in the fast lane.